Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at POWH.org.
Thank you, POWH worship singers, and thank you, Brother Tillotson, for this opportunity to be before you today. All of you that are viewing with us by live stream, and then also Facebook Live, we want to welcome you to the Spirit in the presence of God. There is such a marvelous move of the Lord's Spirit that is in this room right now. And I hope that where you're at, you can feel what I'm talking about, because there is an evident touch of the Lord that is here today. We want to concur with all of the announcements that have already been made thus far. We want to encourage all of our church family. There is not one thing that we are having to do that every church across the United States of America is not having to do, because we've all been put into the same predicament and situation. Let's do not forget our faithfulness through our giving to the house of the Lord. It is the consistency of the average family. As my late bishop, Brother O.R. Foss, told me, he said to me one day, it's not the big eyes or the little U's that carry a church. And at the time that he told me that, I was a younger man. I was just 18 years old, and now I'm 55, and so that's been a few years ago, but I have watched and I have saw that first-handed myself in the ministry. It is those, not the big eyes or the little U's, but it is the consistent members of an assembly that makes the church operate. And I was reading on my way to church today by an app that I have been going through on Audible, reading the Bible through, and I'm in the book of Deuteronomy right now, and was looking at some of the replete things that God began to say over and over and over again, even particular God specifically designed for the Levites, the tribe of Levi. And I have come to this conclusion after many, many years. God does not need my money. He does not. We need God. And part of that fear is not worrying about our welfare, not worrying about our monetary things. He says, don't you get scared when you have to deal with those things. And understand that I am with you, and I will be your provider, and I will make a way for you. So this is no time to back up from our commitments to the house of God. In fact, I have steadily seen an increase in some, and I don't know what that all is about. I have my feelings on some of that, but it seems like sometime when people get in a place of desperation, or they get in a place of shaking, that they revert back to what they know in their heart that they should be doing. And so this is the time for the church to rise and shine as never before. And David understood that. He said in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12, he said, wealth and honor come from you alone. He's talking about Jehovah. He said, wealth and honor come from you alone, and you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. So it's God that causes people to rise and causes people to fall and to get and to gain. And I think that if we do our part, I want you to understand that if you think the enemy is controlling this, then you've got a distorted view, because God is in control of all of this right now. And God has got every bit of this in his hand. And wealth and honor, even in times of distress. So I call upon all of our members today to heed to your bishop's admonishment. We're going to get through this pandemic. They said that there is going to be a escalation probably over the next 2 weeks, and we want to be careful to follow all of the procedures, guidelines, do those things that we know to do, which is our reasonable service. And I do believe that. In fact, I'm going to talk about some of that today, about where God is going to step into this and take care of us. So I'm going to be talking today about the blood of Jesus. I want to talk to you today about the blood of Jesus, and I want you to get behind the word of the Lord today. And if I have ever believed in the power of the blood, I believe it more today than I've ever believed it in all my life. Thank you for your cooperation to our church family. Thank you, sweet church family. You are so kind and you are so great. You're such a wonderful people. And to our guests that are joining with us today, perhaps around the globe. I looked on the feed a while ago, and I know there's some joining us from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. There's some joining us from different parts of the nation, different states within the United States. And we love all of our missionaries. We love all of our friends. And your First Lady and I have met many of you that are tuning in with us today. We have met you while we've been overseas and develop friendships with you, and that's long life relationships. And our prayers are with all of you as well as with those that are within the confines of the United States of America. I want to direct your attention to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 18. The first general epistle of the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm going to talk to you today about the blood of Jesus. There are a lot of churches that are taking the blood out of their songbooks. There's a lot of, well, we don't use songbooks, but they're taking the words out of the music that they write. They're taking the blood out of those, taking the blood out of messages that are preaching, being preached across pulpits, trying to stay away from that bloody scene. But I'm telling you, if you don't have the blood of Jesus preached in your church, then you cease to be a church. And you're watching right now a pastor that intends on preaching it stronger than I've ever preached about the blood of Jesus before. There's nothing like the blood. There is nothing like the blood. So set your Bibles down, and would you, where you're at in your homes or wherever you're viewing this by, would you clap your hands together for the Lord right now and thank Him for His spotless blood? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, and you may be seated. The Bible gives us somewhere around 17 descriptive titles of what I have found in my study concerning Satan. I think the scripture bears out the fact that we should be wise and we should know our adversary. We need to understand what potential the devil can do through his cunning devices and his dastardly deeds and tactics. We need to be aware of how that he can camouflage himself and how slick he can be and how divisive he can be, how crafty that he is. By the way, that is an attribute of the devil. Someone said they're just sharp. No, that's just plain craftiness, and craftiness is not of God. That's another subject, another Bible study. But the devil is a crafty one. But today I want you to understand something that he cannot do. The devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he would love to. Oh, how he would desire to. But the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Tell someone in your home right now, and they overcame him. Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame him. Say, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Two factors that they overcame the evil one by. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And when the Bible said that they overcame him, that means they beat him. They defeated him. They became, listen to this, inoculated from him by the blood of the Lamb of God. I think it's in order for us to lift up our hands right now as the evening sacrifice on this Palm Sunday, the Sunday we celebrate before Easter, and we thank God together as a group, as a family. Would you lift your hands where you are and let's thank God for his precious blood right now. Father, we thank you for that blood that washes whiter than snow. We thank you for the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we're justified by that blood. And we thank you right now. If there's anything that ought to pick your spirits up, if there's anything that ought to make you excited, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. The setting of the Passover is set in the land of Egypt, and the death angel was getting ready to pass through the land of Egypt to destroy the firstborn male child. You pick up that Paschal Lamb narrative in the 12th chapter, and verse 13 tells us, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are." Wherever you are in your house. Did you catch that? The blood will be for you as a token. Wherever you are in your house. And this is what Jehovah said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Can you imagine how that Hebrew father and that Egyptian father looked at one another? The Egyptian father said, "You're crazy for doing the things that you do. You are insane for acting the way that you act." But the Hebrew father said, "I'm going to put the blood on the doorpost and upon the threshold of my home, my house, my dwelling." And you can say it's foolish to talk about the blood of Jesus, especially in a time like this. And they thought it back then that it was foolishness, and some think it's foolishness now. But when that sacrificial blood came from the Lamb and it was placed upon the doorpost and the threshold of the house, and the death angel passed over the land of Goshen and passed over the land of Egypt, those that had applied the blood to their doorpost and to the threshold, which is the entrance, and when they applied that blood, the death angel passed over them, thus instituted the first Passover. And here is the principle. If it were true back then it's true right now. If the enemy could not penetrate the blood back then the enemy cannot penetrate the sacrificial blood of not just any lamb, but the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God when it has been applied to your life. When you get baptized in Jesus' name in water, and that name is invoked over you in water baptism, then we believe that when you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, that his blood has been invested in that name. and you come under a new covenant that was made effective by the blood of the Lamb, which taketh away. It is a blood covenant, and the enemy of my soul cannot penetrate where the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied. Some say it is foolish, but I apply the blood of Jesus every day over my sweet family. I apply the blood of Jesus Christ every day over my home. I apply the blood of Jesus Christ in my prayer time over our sweet church, our local church. Somebody said that's old-fashioned, but we need to return back to that old-fashioned way. When we start using and applying that blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, people used to go to work. They would not leave for work until they applied the blood of Jesus Christ to their life. People used to not send their kids to school until they applied the blood of Jesus Christ to their children. We need to get back to that principle and the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to use the blood. We've got to exercise the blood in 2020. And the key word that I need you to help me with to remember in your mind today concerning the blood of Jesus Christ is access. When you have access to this blood, there is no limits to what God can do in your life and for you. Because the blood still reaches to the highest mountain and the blood still flows to the lowest valley. You have access to that blood today. You've just got to use it. You've just got to exercise it. You've just got to have faith in it. I'm not just talking about some ceremonial thing. I'm not just talking about something to pass time here today. I'm talking about the most powerful agent in the world. We talk about cleansing our hands, and we should be doing that with sanitizer. I don't know of a better sanitizer anywhere, any place than the blood of Jesus Christ. When you apply, that's why the Bible said cleanse your hands. When you apply that blood to your hands, it will cleanse your hands from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. You just got to understand that blood covenant. And 1 Peter 5:7 poses the great challenge. It said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I've got the answer for you today. Instead of focusing on your problem, focus on the biblical promises that are available. Focus on the biblical precision. Focus on the biblical position. Focus on the biblical provisions that are available to you. If you're determined to fight, then fight a good fight. If you're determined to win this war, then fight to win. And you cannot win. Our weapons are not carnal weapons, but our weapons are mighty weapons through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful agent in the world that is available to all of humanity that will accept that blood and apply that blood. It doesn't matter what you're up against, you will come out on top and you will overcome. He is faithful to show you what His will is for you when you give your life totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to learn to appropriate the blood of Jesus. You've got to learn certain characteristics of the blood of Jesus, and you apply them to your life. You can reverse, listen to me, you can reverse the worst attacks of your enemy on your life through the blood of Jesus. And you've got to understand what it does. That power that I'm talking about has been vested and invested in that blood. knowing through that shed blood of Jesus Christ, He has brought and bought forgiveness of sin. The blood can break the power of sin's nature. What is sin? Acronyms. It's sin in my nature. The blood can break the power of sin's attributes in your life forever. Not only has the blood nullified Satan's legal claim on your life because of the fallen Adamic nature that we all received by coming into this world, but when you get the blood applied to your life, you are no longer held by that legal claim any longer. That's why I need to share with you this morning the benefits of the blood. Hebrews 10 and 19, 10 and 19, Hebrews 10 and 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. Now what was rendered only for the Aaronic priesthood, only that which was relegated to the Kohathites, only those that could go into the holiest of holies at a certain time of the year, at a certain place, at a certain meeting time that God would call for them to come. You could not have anything wrong. The Bible talks about a spot on your body, a humpback, or any kind of infirmity in your body. You could not do that. You had to come into that place with God, perfect and spotless. But now all of that has been eradicated. And now the Bible is saying, whosoever will, let him come. And you can come in through access. That's what 10 and 19 of the book of Hebrews is telling us. You have access into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have access after you have implemented these realities in your life. And you will find an inevitable result. You will find that the blood of Jesus applied will protect you. Listen to me. It will protect you even when you have made bad choices. It will protect you when you have made bad mistakes. The blood has the ability to straighten it out. The Spirit of God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. The Spirit of God will rise up inside of you, and you will start manifesting righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost in the midst of all kinds of crises. And with the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's on me right now, I want to declare to the people that have come from all kinds of diverse backgrounds with baggage that has weighted you down and has pushed you down. And every time you begin to try to fly, the spectrum of sin spike begins to push you back down to the ground. I've come to tell you what John in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 7 said, but if you walk in the light, even as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, watch me, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say, any of us say, that we have no sin, you're simply deceiving yourself. And then the Bible says it like this, very plainly, the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I get the blood applied, the devil cannot harm me. You say, Pastor Bishop, what do you say about all of those that have died from this COVID-19 virus? Christian people have died from this COVID-19 virus. Let me say it just like this. The devil never did touch them. The devil never did touch them. In fact, they're not dead. Not if they died in Christ. They're not dead. They're just asleep. and some great getting up morning that's not too far down the road. Something inside of me says, it can't be long. It can't be long. I'm telling you that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. If that blood has been applied, he cannot, I'm going to say it again, he cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to hear me today. It's impossible for the devil to penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only so much that the devil can do, and he cannot begin to go beyond that point. He can go to a certain point, but that's as far as he can go. Touch this body. Yes, Job, he'll touch that body, but you can't touch my soul. You don't have the ability. Devil, you don't have the ability to check me out of this earthly hotel. You don't have the ability to check me out of this earthly hotel until God is ready for me to go to my eternal home. Until he gets ready to call me home. That's why I'm saying COVID-19 did not take any Christian out. The only reason they went out is because God was ready for them to go home. That blood, the devil has no access to go past that blood of Jesus Christ. Many made in God's image were defeated by Lucifer. Thus the transgression brought dearth between God and man. There was no ground upon which man could sue the enemy for peace. And it would take a mediator. What is a mediator? It's one who stands between two contending parties. It was going to take a mediator taking the blame of either side if needs be. He would offer up his own life in reconciliation between the two parties. And only one man could mediate between God and man. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 tells you that. There is only one God. And there's only one mediator between God and man. The man. That's not talking about the spirit. That's talking about the flesh that died at Calvary. The man. Christ. Jesus. Jesus the man was the perfect representative. And stood between God and mankind. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the meaning of Calvary is all about. Jesus Christ's life secured a new covenant for you and for me. When Jesus said, "It is finished," that blood spilt out on the ground. And I got caught up in that this week, began studying the book of Deuteronomy, and I even in the book of Leviticus, I began to read it over and over when God was talking about different types of acceptable meats that they could eat. The only thing that God said to them, he told them specifically that the life is in the blood. And if you take that animal's blood into your body, then the life that was in that body, it's going to get in your body. So spill that blood out on the ground. Over and over he said it. Spill that blood out on the ground. It's no wonder that those Jews wanted to pick up stones and stone Jesus to death, because he looked at those Jews that were practicing, Hasidic Jews, practicing Pharisees, practicing Sadducees. He looked at them and said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me." No Jew would ever ingest another human being's blood into their body. What was Jesus saying? Was he trying to break the law? No, he was fulfilling the law. What he was saying was, if you take my flesh, my broken body, which is given for you as a ransom, and you take that blood and you apply it to your life, then the life that is in me, that same life is going to get inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have received the power of God's Spirit through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you have got the life of Jesus Christ inside of you. And I want to say it again, the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. He cannot go past the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only so far he can go, and he's got to stop. And Jesus paid in full that contractual bill of responsibility that was demanded of the old contract. Paul understood that fully when he wrote to the Romans chapter 3 verse 23. And he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the redemption of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Do you know what Paul is saying right there to the Romans? Do you understand what he's saying to that Roman church? Paul is saying, I don't care what you have done. I don't care what's in your past. I don't care where you have been. When you repent before Jesus Christ and you get your sins forgiven and you get your sins washed away in baptism in water, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God seals you according to 2 Corinthians 1 and 22, seals you with his promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are forgiven in repentance, and you have that blood applied to your life. Somebody needs to shout right now, because you don't even realize that the blood is protecting you right now. The blood is keeping you right now. The blood is what's brought you to this point right now. Hallelujah. If you are a child of God and the blood of Jesus Christ is for you, it's working right now as I speak. It's working for you. And Paul went on to write to his son Timothy in the gospel in 1 and 7 of the second epistle that he wrote, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yes, we take the precautionary measures that we need to take. Yes, we obey the ordinances that we are supposed to obey. But you can go ahead and quit worrying yourself sick over this virus. I need to tell somebody that today. You need to stop worrying yourself sick over this virus. Respect it, yes. Take the precautionary measures, yes. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I am a child of God. I am a child of Abraham. Hallelujah. His blood flows through my veins right now. And I'm under that blood covenant that Abraham was under. Let me give you Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, one that we have been quoting over and over. Many I have been watching on the internet, and so many pastors and so many people have been on the internet quoting and doing these devotionals, and we're so appreciative for all of that. And what we have done in so many different ways, we have went from the ability to reach hundreds, and we have went to the ability to reach hundreds of thousands with this message. And maybe that is part of this gospel being preached in all of the world. And then the end shall come. But let me tell you what Isaiah 54, 17 said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. There is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. He never did say there would not be a weapon, but he said that weapon that has been formed against you shall not prosper. I don't know the origin of this pandemic. I don't know exactly how it all got started, but it makes no difference. If it was used as a weapon, this Bible said that no weapon that has been formed against you shall prosper. They might attempt to prosper it, but ladies and gentlemen, the church of Jesus Christ has went through greater fires and greater trials than what we're in right now. And she's always come out resilient. She's always come out on the other side. And I'm telling you, the church is not going down. It's some weak, anemic thing. But the church is going to go up glorious. And the church is going to go up triumphant. And the church is going to put everything under our feet. And furthermore, when we come out on the other side of this, there is going to be a revival that has been prepared for us. A harvest field that has been laid out before us that's going to be ripe and it's going to be ready to harvest. And men's hearts are going to be already conditioned. They're going to be preconditioned and ready. And all you have to do is somebody tell me where Jesus is at. Somebody show me where Jesus is at. You don't have to preach to them. Just show them where Jesus is at. Let them feel the presence and the power. Let them come into the presence of peace. They've been in enough fear for too many weeks, too many months. They've been in the spirit of fear for too many months, too many weeks. Let them come into the peace of God. And all of a sudden, hot, salty tears are going to start running down their face because Jesus is peace that passes all understanding. They're going to feel joy that's unspeakable, that's full of glory. And the Apostle Peter said the half has not yet been told. They're going to begin to experience emotions that they've never experienced before. And somebody's going to say, that's not me. That's not us. That's not the choir. That's not the singers. That's not the preacher. That's Jesus that you feel right now. And people are going to give their lives to God. And we're going to see a worldwide revival that is going to take place, that's going to shake this globe. I believe that with all of my heart. So let me give you the sevenfold victory of the blood. Seven things, and I'm going to come to a close. Seven things that the blood did. Number one, it defeated Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Second thing, it abolished death and brought life through immortality. Third, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Fourthly, he crucified our old man. Fifthly, and hear this one, he bore our sicknesses. He carried our sorrows. Surely we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. The sixth thing, he fulfilled the law. And the seventh thing, he judged the world's system. That is the sevenfold victory restored. All of the contract, the contractual contracts, the covenant that was between Abraham and God, Jesus Christ reached back and he restored that contract that he initially engaged in with Abraham. We are now children of Abraham, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and all of the Abrahamic promises are ours. Hallelujah. God restored that contract, and I can identify with Jesus. If Jesus is the one that bridged that gap, he's the one that restored that. He is the one mediator between God and man. If he's the one that did that, if he's the one that restored that, I can identify with him when I get buried with Jesus. in water baptism, something wonderful happens, and it happens in my life. Baptism means that I have been brought into the covenant, not church membership. Do you hear me today? We want people to become a part of POWH and this great family that we have. We have a great church. We really do. We have a great church family here. But you being baptized does not make you a member of the Pentecostal church. But what it does do is get your sins remitted. And when you go down in that water, it's not anything magic in the water. That's just plain water, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. We just add one ingredient to it. We add one part Jesus. So it's two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, one part Jesus. And when you invoke the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, symbolically, that water turns into blood. And we call and we invoke the name of Jesus. Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name that's come down from heaven that's been given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. That's why everybody that you see baptized in the New Testament church, after the church began in Acts chapter 2, and all denominations, all Christian denominations anywhere will tell you that's where the church started at. It had its inception in the book of Acts chapter 2. Every baptism that happened in the book of Acts, and that is a diary that covers somewhere between 80 and 100 years of the Acts of the Apostles. It is a consistent formula. Everybody that was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You may have not ever heard that before, but you're hearing it here today. And I challenge you to check it out for yourself. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 12, Acts 19, Acts 26. Everybody that was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can identify with Jesus through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 5. Read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 5. You can read that. That's how you identify with him through his. That's the gospel. In fact, it starts out with you. Paul said, moreover, I declared unto you the gospel. What is it? How that Christ died, how that he was buried, and how that he rose on the third day. That's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We identify him with him through repentance. Where was the blood applied in the Old Testament? It was applied at the first place they came to. When they went by that brazen altar, that was the first time that the blood was shed. They took that blood that was on that priest's hands, and before he could go into that, in beyond that veil, into the holy place, he had to stop by the brazen laver. And there he had to wash his hands in that labor to get that blood off of his hands so that he could go in with clean hands. And when that high priest went in beyond the veil into the holiest of holies, blood on his thumb, and he would apply that blood between the two cherubims. Watch this, the book of Numbers said where he had deposited his name. You'll also read in there, be careful, because I have hidden my name in an angel. And for some 4,000 years, that name had been hidden in an angel. Who was that angel? No doubt that angel was Gabriel, the messenger angel, because it was Gabriel that came to the Virgin Mary, and for the first time, the world, the angels, heard that name that had never been uttered before. What shall his name be called? His name shall be called Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach. And you take that blood and you apply that blood to your life through repentance, through water baptism, and through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Read that 12th chapter of Exodus, because when you take this Paschal lamb, the lamb is not to be eaten raw or sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire. Kind of sounds like Pentecost, don't it? The Lamb of God is to be eaten red hot. Take it and eat it. Eat it hot. Eat it roasted with fire. I can identify with Jesus when I repent of my sins, when I get baptized in Jesus' name, when I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I go into covenant with Him. And I also go into that Abrahamic covenant. And that's why the apostle said, I am crucified with Him. I'm circumcised with Him. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day so that He might fulfill the law. And that's when He received His name, on the eighth day. Circumcision is blood. There's blood associated with that. There's cutting away. But at the same time that Hebrew male child on the eighth day was circumcised, it also received His name. The name and the blood always go together. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you're applying the blood of Jesus Christ. That wild olive branch, that's what we were. We got grafted into that original stump, which is Abraham. And so today I'm telling somebody that's listening to me, what we need more than ever before in this hour is a return back to the old-fashioned power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need a wholly new respect for that blood. We need to understand that we can apply that blood, and that's what we talked about this next Sunday on Easter. We're going to hand out red sashes to put on the doorposts of our houses. We're going to anoint them with oil, just like they did in that 12th chapter of Exodus, and we're going to apply the blood of Jesus Christ on our homes. And when the president said over the next 2 weeks is going to be the strongest point of this pandemic before it hits that curve and we begin to de-escalate, in the middle of all of that, Passover is going to take place. Easter is going to take place. A death is going to take place. A burial. You think all of this is coincidence? I don't. I think all of this is fitting into God's timing and His program the way He wants it to fit. And I'm telling you, we're going to come out of this just like they came out of the land of Goshen. We're going to come out of this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. Jesus is coming soon. And He's coming back for a bride that has made themselves ready. And if you're here listening to this broadcast today, and you need the touch of Jesus Christ in your life, in your family. We've had people contact us from various places in this country pray. While this broadcast was going on, we had people contacting us. Pray for my family. Pray for this one. Pray for that one. We need God more than we've ever needed Him before. And what we need is that blood. I challenge you right now, wherever you're at, we have got a ministerial staff that is waiting. It's up on the screen. We've got a staff that is waiting to answer any questions that you have, willing to pray with you, wanting to meet your needs, because we've got serious. I've been talking to our ministerial staff over the past several weeks, and we've all just kind of just sold out to the fact that we got to give our lives to winning the loss, and then the end shall come. And so we're willing to put it all on the line for you and for whosoever will. We want to win as many people to God before He comes back for His church. Some with fear, Jude said. Some as if you can reach into the flames itself and pull them out. An old-fashioned revival of conviction. An old-fashioned revival of repentance. An old-fashioned revival of falling at the feet of Calvary, wrapping your arms around that old rugged cross and say, I'll cling to it and I'll hold on to it because the blood is what's going to take me through this thing. Can I encourage you today? Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He's as close as the mention of His name. And if you'll begin to call out to Him where you're at, lift your hands in your living room, lift your hands wherever you're at. Call in on this report and give us a report. It was at this moment the Lord touched my body. It's at this moment that God filled me with His Spirit. It's at this moment that God did this work in my life. We're willing to meet anybody that needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. We're willing to meet anybody that needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. Our staff has been instructed on what to do with that. So if you're wanting to be baptized in Jesus' name, it makes no difference what time, what place, what day. Just tell us and we'll make provisions. The Lord is reaching for you today. Calvary is reaching for you today. That blood is ready to be applied. I want our singers to begin to sing, and I want you to feel the presence of God move into that living room where you're at right now in even a more manifest way than what it is right now. The Lord wants to manifest Himself right now in your home. In Jesus' name. Come on, light those prayer lines up right now. Come on, light those prayer lines up right now. Dear Lord, we have felt Your presence here today. And we thank You for this marvelous moment of momentum that we're in right now. There's such a wave of Your Spirit. It's like that surfer that knows how to time the timing of that wave. There's certain times that it does no good to jump on that board because you're not going to go much of anywhere, but there's other times that you can jump on at the right moment. It's that zenith, it's that peak. And when you get on it at the right time, you could ride that for such a long, long way. And that's what I feel like you have stirred up in this world right now. You have conditioned this world for this marvelous moment of momentum. And it's time for the church to recognize what our position and our place is right now in the body of Christ and rise up like never before. Timing is everything with you, Lord. Timing is everything with you, Lord. Help us to seek out that perfect and acceptable will of God. That right time. Jump on that board, so to speak, and just ride the wave of the Spirit as far as you can take the church, and then shall the end come. I believe today that you have spoke to people's hearts. They understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We say the remission of sin, but the scripture said there's no remission. So does that cover more than just sin? I think so. It covers a lot of things. It covers a multitude of things. Without the shedding of blood, there's just simply no remission. We need you to do a work. We need a divine work of the Spirit. We need an understanding of all of the attributes of the blood. We have not even begun to tap in to the resources that are available through that shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's working for me in ways that I do not know. The president himself repeatedly is calling this a war. It's war. It's war. It's war. He said it's just an invisible enemy that we're fighting right now. So that tells me that when I even go into the grocery store, there's enemy all around me. When I go anywhere in the public eye, there's enemy all around me. I can't see them. Does that make me get in a state of fear? Oh no. What does that do? That just reminds me of the blood. Because that blood has been applied to my life. And when I've done the proper things that I need to do, then the rest is up to you, God. I can't expect you to do what I have the ability to do myself. I can't expect you to fix what you to fix what I can fix myself. So I do that thing that is my reasonable service. Then you take the slack up. But how many car wrecks have you spared me through? How many sicknesses have you guarded me from? How many times have I rubbed up against death's door? I know at least three times in my lifetime I've rubbed up against the door of death, and you've always been there to protect me. I thank you today for that precious blood. I thank you for those that are tuned in today, and I can't help but believe there's somebody that's watching right now by the way of this broadcast. They understand fully what I'm saying right now, because they're wanting to jump through that screen, so to speak, and say, it's me. It's me. I'm the one you're talking to right now. Had it not been for God on my side, David knew it, and David said it. If it had not been for the sure mercies of God, we would have long time been consumed. But that blood works for us. And that blood is working for us right now. And I'm sure there's some out there right now that's laughing. There's some out there that's trying to make light of this, and some are trying to say it's trivial and it's trite. And that's okay. But it was the same way in the land of Goshen. It was the same way in the land of Egypt. But when the death angel passed through, only those that had that blood applied, that sacred blood applied. And so, Lord, today, deal with somebody's heart. Let them call into that number. Let them take a screenshot. Let them go to our website. Find out how to get that app. Go on that line. They can be in a live conference room with somebody that wants to help direct them to Jesus Christ in a way that they have never experienced before. Great men of God, great people of God that love people, that are willing to invest time and energy and effort into people that really do want help. And so we thank you for the work that you've done today, and I thank you for the reports that are going to follow this afternoon. I'm going to get reports, I believe that are going to come in. Yes, I found the Lord today. Yes, I got reconnected to that bloodline today. I thank you for it, Jesus. And I praise you for every one of these sweet people that are watching right now. Keep your hand upon us. Protect us. We're going to make it through this. We're going to come out resilient. We're going to come out a greater people than what we were before we went into the fire. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits. 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 Benefits only come to full-time people. Benefits don't come to part-time people. I want to be a full-time child of God. I want to receive those benefits. And I praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.